Thank you. Thank you, thank you. This morning I originally had planned something completely different to bring, and I felt God had something else on my heart. But as the week sort of progressed, I just got a sense that the Lord wanted to take us in a little bit of a different direction this morning. I've actually shared this message before a couple of years ago, and I just felt like this week was the week for it. Self-care. I don't know about you, but my week's been a bit crazy. and I just felt like maybe some of our lives right now are in a bit of a season like that. There's a lot of busyness going on. There's a lot of things happening. We have a transition happening at the same time. And, you know, outside of that, life doesn't stop. So today I wanted to share about self-care in Christ. A bit different to self-care the way that the world would share it. But let's start off with this. So my week has been a bit crazy. It's been an interesting week. I can't remember whether it was Sunday night or Monday night. We were sitting around the home. Pete had brought out some songs he wanted to run through. He's like thinking, oh, what song shall I do for the Sunday? You know, prayerfully considering praise and worship and things like that. And we were singing around the lounge because that's what we do in our household. When you've got musicians in your house, take advantage of those really awesome moments where you can do that. And if you don't have musicians and you can't sing in tune, that's okay. God does not have a disorder where he freaks out every time someone hits a flat note or sings out of key. He's immune to those kind of things, because it's our heart that he's looking at. Anyway, we're sitting around the lounge in front of the fire and just singing praise and worship to God. And Pete said to me, oh, can you just shut that curtain behind you? Because I was sitting in my desk chair, which is quite close to our fireplace at the moment. And I was sort of swaying backwards and forwards, and it was knocking the curtain open. And that was obviously bugging him. So on my desk is my laptop, and I've got my hot drink next to that. And I just turned to pull the curtain close, and I knocked something off the mantle. An ornament came off, broke. Well, didn't quite completely break, but it rattles now, and it never used to. So as I went to pick that up, the other side of my chair knocked my drink over and covered my laptop in Ribena. A hot Ribena. And so we're rushing around trying to clean up all this mess and everything, and it just sort of like one thing after the other just kept happening, and it started then. And that was just the first day. And so as my week progressed, it was pretty much like that. So I couldn't use my laptop for a couple of days. I wanted to make sure it was still going to work by the end of the week. And, you know, life is like that sometimes. Sometimes it's just all these little annoying, unnecessary, why did that have to happen kind of things. And my week just progressed like that. All these little hiccups were happening. All these little things just kept piling up. And with all these other things in life happening, all this stuff going on, it would be easy for me to go, all right, that's it, I'm tapping out. I quit. I'm done. But if you know me, that's not an option. For me, it's just not an option. So I had to take some time to care for my soul. Had to take some time out to actually go, okay, this is not working out for me. Even though they're just tiny little things, you know, as they compile and as they compress one on top of the other, the stress or the pressure starts to really get to you. And it's time to take care of yourself. And I love this verse, Isaiah 26, verse 4. So trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. And I just needed a rock to rest on. I just needed our Heavenly Father to go to. The Amplified Version says this: so trust in the Lord, commit yourself to Him, lean on Him, hope confidently in Him forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. And it was just one of those really comforting things for my soul. It was something that I needed to make sure that I looked after myself. Even though these things were only little, they were still frustrating and they niggle at you and they're like, "Oh, why did that happen?" And that's just life. It is really just life. Life is just sometimes like that. But see, self-care, as the world would do it, it's more like feed us what we want, give us what we want, and not really so much what we need. Such as treat yourself to this, indulge in all this sugar and junk food, and eat all this rubbish, which is going to make you feel rubbish later. Eat whatever you want, as much as you want. Binge watch a series on Netflix. I don't have Netflix, probably a good reason why I don't have it. Splash out on yourself, even though you may not have the finances to do that. But you're worth it, right? And I'm not saying you're not worth it. But most of these things are not necessarily self-care. Most of these things are actually self-focused and selfish. Self-care does not look like that according to God's model or Christ's model. Especially if you are spending loads of money that you just don't have to care for yourself. Because that's not caring for yourself. If you have if you're spending money that you don't have, you're being careless, because you're going to end up in debt and you're going to be thinking to yourself, wow, I shouldn't have spent that money, and now I'm going to pay for it later with interest, lots of interest. When we chase after what we want to help us feel better, the trade-off is that we often miss out and sometimes never actually get what we really need. Jesus paints a different picture of self-care than that of the world. When we practice the kind of self-care that Jesus demonstrated, we can find the true rest our body needs and our soul needs. My hope is that we will create some more habits that will actually nourish our souls, that will actually nourish our spirits, rather than practices that will leave us exhausted or empty. Self-care in Christ is reconnection, not disconnection. We learn from Jesus that self-care is reconnection, not disconnection. When we've had a hard day at work, or like my experience this week, life is just difficult and annoying and all sorts of crazy little things are happening and maybe stressful, we often want to unplug. And unplugging from society or the noise of society or unplugging from the busyness of life is a good thing. However, Jesus' model of self-care means unplugging from the stuff of life, the busyness of the world, and plugging into something bigger. Reconnecting with the Heavenly Father. Self-care for you and I is not unplugging and sitting on whatever social media platform, scrolling, emptiness, binge watching TV. That's not self-care. That's selfish. In several instances, Jesus leaves the crowd to find solitude. In these times, however, he does not just sit there and twiddle his thumbs or play a Sudoku for hours and hours and hours and hours, or scroll through Instagram looking for something to like, or trying to find something on Facebook that, you know, might just help us with nothing, really. We might find a dad joke that's funny. Hey, Ross. And there is space for those things. But Jesus didn't look for something else. He didn't look for a crowd of people to go and say, "Oh, you know what, I've had a really rubbish day. I've done this and this has happened and this has happened and this has happened." He didn't have a good rant about something. He didn't go and rant to a group of friends. And sometimes, I'm not saying that we don't need to get things off our chest, but we also need to know when to stop. Yeah. It's okay to vent What did Jesus say? Be angry and do not sin. It's okay to vent, but we've also got to come to a place where we have a boundary. Actually, now's a good place to stop, because I'm no longer venting. I'm actually fueling my aggression and fueling my frustration, and then you just get angrier. So Jesus, he unplugged from activity, but he reconnected back into the hope that was in his Father. Oftentimes we can unplug and we can think that whatever it is that we're doing is helping our problems or helping us deal with things, but really often most of the time we're actually just distracting our minds from that problem. We're taking our minds away from whatever the situation is or whatever our issue is at that time. And then what happens after we've finished doing that? Well, we go back to the problem and it's still there. We end up still in that same place of frustration, that same place of disappointment, or whatever it is that's happened. And we just return to something and we don't have any solutions and it's still stressful. There's no peace. So question, when you unplug, do you reconnect? And it's a fair question to ask, because most of us will go, ooh, might reconnect after 3 hours. Do you unplug from activity and plug into the Father? That's a habit that hopefully we will think about and maybe start creating in our life. I read a really good quote the other day, and it was about habits, and it said something along the lines of, don't get to a day and think, oh, when should I do this, whatever your habit is. Decide beforehand when you will do it, and then you will hopefully just do it anyway. And make sure that that decision is the one that you're just going to follow through with. So instead of getting to a day and going, oh, you know, I've got to do this thing, this is the habit I want to create. If you're in that day already and you're then trying to decide when you should do it, you're never going to fit it into your plan. But if you decide, this is what I'm going to do, then your action should just naturally follow, hopefully, unless you're really good at procrastinating or making up excuses for not doing things, which is also procrastinating. But, yeah, there is hope for us in the midst of our greatest difficulties. When we find that hope, we find it only in God. We can't find it anywhere else. When we just disconnect from our problems and don't reconnect with the hope that we have in God, then our mind can just sink into a hopelessness. True self-care means casting our anxieties upon Him because He cares for us. And you'll find that in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. When we're going through life and life is heavy, it's okay to go to God and go, you know what? I can't deal with this. This is just too much. I need to give this to you, God. I need to give this frustration to you. I need to give this upset to you. I need to give this grievance to you. Whatever it is, he's saying to us, cast it upon me because I care. And he helps us in our self-care when we give him our cares or the things that we don't want to care about in the moment. The only issue with that is if you take it back, you're still holding on to it. So when you cast your care upon him, you actually have to give it to him and leave it there. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just really setting yourself up for trouble. When you feel the urge to disconnect, direct your mind to the hope that we have in God. Leave your problems there, casting it upon him, and ask him to help you to face them. I know, it's very simple. It's very simple. But we just have to, like Pastor Gina said earlier, you know, we need to make a choice. You know, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Yes. And I know the scripture doesn't have the word choose, but it is a choice. We rejoice and glad in it, be glad in it, but we have to choose it. We have to choose to give our problems to Jesus. We have to choose to set them down at the foot of the cross. By plugging into this hope, we can find the rest for our souls that we actually need. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. You know, everything that is in God, everything that is in Jesus, everything that he did upon that cross, everything from his beating to his teaching to just the word he spoke out, the preaching, everything that we have in him is the hope that we have in God. He gave it all to us. We don't have to worry about, oh, where am I going to get some hope from? Well, I might go down to Mitre 10 and see if there's some in the build DIY section. Well, we don't need to look that far. We have that hope in Jesus. We have some hope. It's right there. We just need to tap into it. We just need to go to the source. And it's firm and secure, unwavering. You know, anchored is something that is solid and cannot be moved. Unless you wind the anchor up. But it's there, it's solid, you can't move it. And so we have that hope, it's not going to go anywhere. It's our source. And we go to God because he is our source, he's a source of all things good. And so in our self-care, it's better to go to him instead of disconnecting from everything. Self-care is energizing, not exhausting. For some people, running is a way to care for themselves. Like Jessie will go for a run, or she'll go to the gym. And like for me, that just seems a bit exhausting sometimes. But she finds that energizes her. But it's like, have you ever heard of, or have you ever experienced yourself, where you've gone away on a holiday and you've come back feeling even more tired than being on holiday? Yeah. It's like even if you plan to do things on your holiday, like you might have planned to do a whole lot of activities and done a whole lot of things, sightseeing, all sorts of touristy type things maybe, and even that can be quite exhausting. I know we were talking to a couple the other week here who come in for kibosh, and they were sharing with us about how they'd planned a holiday to go away, and they were pretty excited before they had gone, and they were really, you know, oh yes, we're going to be able to relax, we're going to be able to just take some time out for ourselves, and unfortunately the whole time their son was sick. Yeah. So they spent time going to the hospital, doctors, and all sorts of stuff, running around, no sleep at night. And so this whole time that they were away was exhausting. And self-care is not like that. Self-care is energizing, it's not exhausting. Often sometimes our self-care activities actually deplete us, leaving us exhausted and needing more rest. But true self-care gives us the energy we need to face our daily lives. I remember quite early on in my walk that spending time with God often, regularly, at a regular time each day, was what actually gave me the energy I needed to get through some of the stuff of life that I had to push through. Some of you will be working in secular environments, and you know, like, it's really tough as a born-again believer to push through some of the rubbish that is thrown at you and around you. And if you don't spend that time with Jesus, you don't spend that time energizing yourself, waiting on him, seeking him, allowing his word to speak to you, if you don't have that, you'll find that when you walk out the door and you get into that secular environment, that it just makes you feel so exhausted. It drains you. It drains you spiritually, it drains you mentally and emotionally because there's all this stuff going on around you. And I praise God that for the most of the time my environment is, I mean, I'm working in the church, so I hope it's mostly godly. It's not so secular. I mean, we do a lot of work with the community and people outside of, you know, the four walls. But self-care is something that energizes you. It's not something that depletes your energy. And so I just love that I can come to God and be refueled and refreshed in Him before I can hit the road or before I can get out there into the world or do whatever it is. You know, I have to spend time with Jesus before I get on the phone with my brother because He really pushes my buttons. He's not a believer. And I know, like, He could have any kind of conversation with me, which I will completely disagree with. But I know that if I have been energized in Christ first, then I can handle that conversation that's coming. That and God just gives me extra patience. So question number two, are your self-care activities energizing? For some of you, climbing up mountain climbing might be a way to care for yourself because you're out there in nature. I really appreciate going out and getting in God's creation. And sometimes that is a way for us to be really re-energized in Christ and recreated in Him, I suppose. When we use self-care to numb our pain or situations or bury it, we're left exhausted. For instance, over-functioning can be a numbing behavior. When we become too busy to feel pain or negativity, sometimes some of us are busy because we don't want to stop, because if we stop, then we actually have to realize that our life is not in a good environment. I mean, I'm one of those from way back. I find it easy to just do, and then I realize, oh, actually, I haven't stopped. And so sometimes we can get in the habit of doing so that we don't deal with the things that we need to deal with. And self-care is taking that time to acknowledge that we need to deal with some stuff. It's not overdoing things and over-functioning so that we can just numb whatever's going on or try and glaze over, oh, you know, there's stuff going on over there, but I'm going to keep going. And sometimes we do have to keep going for certain reasons, but there is a time when we will need to stop and actually reassess and self-assess. Watching too much Netflix or too much screen time, being overly social, going out every single day or hanging out with lots and lots of people can be something that is actually a sign that we're not self-caring. Yes. But in the end, we just end up feeling more tired, we keep feeling more numb or carrying whatever pain it is that's in our life, or we just continue to bury it. And we just never deal with it. Eventually, we no longer have control over it, and it causes us more harm and pain than we need. When we try to numb our pain, we ignore our needs. Jesus' form of self-care never ignored His needs for Himself and His disciples. In Mark chapter 6, verse 31 to 32, "Then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.'" See, even Jesus recognized that they needed to eat and that they needed to rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. So we need to make sure that we withdraw from some of the busyness of life. And, you know, we've had pretty full-on schedules this week, but we still have to take time to withdraw, to take time, even if it's just quiet time, to just let your thoughts settle, let your mind settle, clear your head, because there's lots of stuff that can get in there and hang around. And I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people who, if my desk that I'm looking at is messy, I can't study. I can't, even my desktop on my computer, if that's a mess, like, I'm just like, I need to tidy this up because it's visual clutter. Well, it's the same with what's in our head. It's emotional or mental clutter. I've got to get that out so that I can think straight, think clear, and that I can function as God would want me to function. See, we see Jesus noticing how the disciples were tired from serving. He calls them to follow him and refuel themselves with some rest, which is what they needed. In John 21, we see Jesus return to the disciples after the crucifixion. The disciples are in the boat when Jesus calls out to them. They are thrilled to see Jesus and jump out of the boat to see him. When they arrive on the shore, Jesus notices they are hungry. And before Jesus tells them what they must do, he is intentional about meeting their needs. And he intentionally makes sure there is a meal waiting for them. So unless you're fasting, make sure you take care of yourself and eat well. Jesus wants to meet our needs so that we can meet the needs of others. It's really hard for you and I to do the work of the kingdom if we're running on empty. And that's not just spiritual empty, that's physical empty. We need to be making sure that we're looking after ourselves. Self-care is being healthy and looking after what we eat and drink and all those kind of things. When we numb ourselves with busyness, overactivity and doing too much, we ignore the needs and turn away self-care. We can meet Jesus in a quiet place and he's willing and waiting to meet our needs. Once he does, we can engage with our daily lives feeling refreshed and energized. Today, consider whether your self-care activities are energizing or emptying and exhausting. If they are emptying and exhausting, search out what needs are being met or being ignored and figure out ways that you can meet those needs with Jesus. Self-care is essential. It's not indulgent. It's not indulging. Some people might say, oh, you shouldn't do that. You know, that's just too selfish. That's just too self-focused. Well, in today's society, define self-care by activities like doing things for yourself, taking a bath, watching TV, getting a massage, going shopping. All of these things are defined as self-care. But when you look at just the activities of self-care, it can seem indulgent. It can seem excessive. It can seem kind of greedy. You might not need to get a massage or go shopping or take a long bath. You might have kids you have responsibilities for or to care for. You might have other people waiting on you to do other things, like a parent that you might be caring for. And so sometimes these things can't be done. And that's okay. But not everything has to be like that. Not every way of looking after ourselves has to be an activity. Sometimes it's just sitting and resting in Jesus and waiting on God. Like that song this morning, Heart of Worship, that is true self-care. It's actually just stripping everything else away and allowing us to sit before the Heavenly Father at the foot of his cross, at the foot of the throne, and just wait on him. If we continue to look at self-care as just activities, then it will always seem indulgent. True. Because we think, oh, I've got to go and get a massage because that's caring for myself, but I shouldn't get a massage because, you know, it's a bit much. Well, sometimes it might be, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's really necessary. Like Jessie needed a massage the other week because she's like aching everywhere. And she just said, you know what, I really need to do this, otherwise I can't keep functioning. I can't help out with work, I can't do this with youth group, I need to actually look after myself. And so she went and got herself a full body massage from one of those sports massage-y people, and then she was like, I shouldn't have done that because now I'm even sorer than I was before. Yeah. And I just said to her, well, you know what, let's just pray. Let's just pray. I know, wise words from a mum, eh? Let's just pray, my answer to everything. Let's pray. But sometimes it's necessary for us to do some of those things, to take care of our soul, to take care of our bodies, to take care of our, maybe not so much your spirit, I don't know how that shopping and massages and that helps your spirit, but But, you know, sometimes it just helps our soul to go and do that thing that we need to do, because often it's something we've put off for ages anyway. And it's just taking that time to care for yourself. Self-care is deliberate. It's the deliberate practice of paying attention to and taking care of your physical, mental, and emotional health. Matthew 22, verse 37 says that you should love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. How can I love the Lord with all my mind, heart, and soul if I never paid attention to my mental and emotional health? Because when that's out of kilter, I can't give God my all. Because it's broken, or it's messy, or it's untidy, and it needs caring for. It's hard to love out of something that is empty. So we can't give all we have in worship if we never pay attention to what we do have. We need to care for our souls. We need to care for our bodies. We need to care for our emotions and our mental health. Matthew 22, verse 39 says, "And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Well, if your mind, soul, and heart is a bit messy and hasn't been cared for, then that is exactly how you are going to love your neighbor. And unfortunately, that can be really ugly. And that's not the kind of love that God is actually intending us to share with our neighbor. So if we really want to love the Lord with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all everything in us, we have to take care of that. And especially if we want to love our neighbor, we have to make sure that whatever's going on in here is in a good place first. It's really hard to love somebody else when the love's not happening in here first. True biblical self-care is taking care of what we've been given by God so that we can give back to Him in worship. Whatever it is, wherever it is, whether we're serving on a platform, whether we're serving in a group, whether we are evangelizing on the street, whether we are discipling people, whether we are sitting around here on a Friday night listening to boys scream for some reason. Whatever it is, because, you know, boys who are 11 to 12, that's what they do, they scream. But it's good screaming. It's screaming of joy. Anyway, so whatever we're doing, wherever we're serving, if we don't make sure that the love that we're putting into ourselves is happening first, then whatever we pour out is going to be ugly and messy. And it's not true worship. I mean, we can still worship God in our brokenness, but it's kind of like reserved for parts of us, like only part of us is going to give out something. But God wants all of us. So God, when we truly self-care well, we can give back to God and worship well. We can do that better. We can do that to the fullness of what God has intended us to do. We can't serve others when we're running on empty. We can't embody the gospel when our body is failing. We can't meet others' needs when we can't even meet our own needs. And just in closing, self-care is reconnection, not disconnection, to unplug from the world and activity, but to reconnect to our Heavenly Father. Not entertainment, but recreation. And I've kind of just made a bit of a play on the word recreation. It's recreation. Well, you're recreating yourself in Christ. Yeah. Self-care is energizing, not exhausting. To be refueled and refreshed and not depleted by busyness and stress. Not to be burning the candles at both ends. Self-care is essential, not indulging. Practice paying attention to and taking care of your physical, mental, and emotional health. Jesus understood that self-care is essential for the work of the kingdom. Once you start practicing true self-care, then you'll start to experience all the joy that God has for you. Now today, I pray that God might open you up to more self-care and more joy. This is only a small snippet of self-care, really, but I think it's the essential parts that we need to be focusing on. Absolutely. So I'm just going to close with this last verse, which was the first one. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. So this morning, I just pray that you remember to go to the rock, who is our hope, who is our strength, who is our source. And where you're feeling depleted, or where you're feeling like maybe you haven't cared for yourself the best, I just encourage you to go to him and take whatever it is that is in your life, whatever it is that's on your heart, whatever it is that's heavy, whatever it is that's frustrating or annoying or upset or grievance or offense, whatever it is, I just encourage you to take that to God, the source, instead of trading it off for emptiness and exhaustion and numbness and all of those other things that don't quite meet our need. This morning, I just encourage you to come to Jesus.